Snowball Spa. You want good words? Data Languager.
Talk real sports with a real man.
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
And now, here's the be-all, end-all, know-it-all of high school, college, and pro sports. Aaron Skinny Calc with The Skinny on Sports.
We're talking about practice, man. I'm the MVP!
Good Thursday morning out there, Western Oklahoma. Welcome to The Skinny on Sports, right here on 98.1 FM. The Sports Animal, glad to have you along for the next hour. We've got high school hoops all day long across the Paragon and Big Elk TV network. We'll obviously talk about that. Thunder losing last night. Kind of a scheduled loss on the road with what's coming out, especially about how much trouble they had actually getting down to Atlanta. So we got all kinds of things. We can talk about college football topics as well. And so that's kind of just a hodgepodge of stuff coming up on the show today. Now, it's always exciting when somebody, especially if it's not me on location. See, when I'm on location, I have zero doubt that Jared knows how to hook me up and I'll be over the air. When I'm in here and Jared's gone, I don't have as much confidence. So, Jared, blink twice if you can hear me.
Can you hear me?
I can. Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah. Hey, listen. I'm the same way. I was holding my breath too.
Yeah.
I was holding my breath that we got this all right.
Yeah. Thanks a lot. You just pile on me for not being as technically sound as you. Thankfully, you sent me a picture of what the board was supposed to look like. I actually think I would have gotten. Let's see. If you say there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. If you say there's 6 buttons to push,
yeah,
I think I would have got 5 of them. I'm not sure if I would have got the other
if
one
I had
on my
tried
mic.
To explain it.
No,
yeah.
I mean, oh, no, okay. just me trying to remember. I don't know if I'd have gotten the second one on my mic that would let
you
hear. I think I'd have done everything else about right because I understand which pot it's coming through. Obviously, this computer I'm staring at. And so, anyhow, there you are. How are you?
Listen,
today?
the real test is going to be tomorrow because Jimmy's doing a similar thing with his show in Oklahoma City. So the real test is going to be if he can go on location and set all that up and connect. That's going to be the real test. And then that'll be if he can do it, then anybody can do it.
Okay,
right?
Not anybody can do it. There's another test there that would signify that anybody could do it.
Oh, okay. But we know he can't get it done. I mean, let's be honest.
Just saying. Jimmy is he's the runner up in that competition.
You know, yesterday the before we get into it, you know, we saw our crew go over to there's a new
escape room.
In Oak City, and you know, Gabe was trying to get volunteers to go, everybody to go. And he got Sean to go. And I thought, well, crap, I got places to be after work. I don't think I'll have time to get locked in a room with Sean.
So did you hear? Have you heard about any of this?
I haven't heard any of it. I just saw a picture that they got out. But okay. I haven't heard how or anything.
I heard stories. He was telling us earlier, like, one of the last couple of clues or how to escape. It was like a floating key. But it was in this tube of water or something to where you had to basically it would start leaking and then you'd plug one of the holes and it would go up, you know, but then there was, so you constantly were having to plug holes, you know, with the whole group to get enough pressure for the key to float to the top. And I thought to myself, man, what a tough break. If there'd have been a couple extra holes, I don't know if there's anything they could have done about that.
It might not be enough fingers.
That's
what
I'm saying.
That would have been a bummer.
Man,
that would have been a bummer.
A couple extra holes.
Use his nose.
They'd still be there. Literally.
His elbow, I don't know.
Literally nothing they could have done about it.
Oh, darn.
Now that sounded like a fun deal at the Escape
Elk
City.
Yeah, that's cool. That's in Elk City. I didn't know that was even there. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, I knew it was. I knew that it was there. And
I didn't. I didn't even know until yesterday, and I went home and told Alex. Goes, oh yeah, I knew about that. Well, thanks for telling me.
Yeah,
that's something we could have been doing over the Christmas break.
Yeah, I knew that was scheduled. It just, you know, for us, it's tough, especially at the time. If it had been a little bit earlier, in the day. That helps us. But 4 o'clock, I mean, that's kind of go time.
Oh, I hadn't even recorded news yet, and then I got to go right after work to get a kid to practice, so I didn't have time. And then again, I was thinking, I might be in here for a while if Sean's going.
I'm getting hand signals on the text line.
Oh, dear.
With multiple fingers, not just one.
Okay. I think you'd hand signal someone opening the door.
No.
Giving you a hand signal.
Well, you know, that one's gone.
That's true.
Anyway, no, it sounded like they had a good time, and like you said, they did escape. So that's a positive for the six KECO employees that went. So good times.
Very good.
Were had by all. 225-9698 is the phone or the text line. That is 225-9698. Give us a call, shoot us a text. We can talk about any of those things, whatever else might be on your mind. Feel free to chime right in at 225-9698. If you're going to be outside the listening area, which is very possible with a bunch of these basketball tournaments going on, people want to kind of get the build up to the day, you can log on to KADSAM.com, download the app as well. The app is the way to go, right? Because you can listen to any of the radio stations, you can check out the Penny News in between games, and you can watch on Big Elk and Paragon TV every single game that's going on this week. On the Paragon and Big Elk TV network, right through the app. It's so simple right there, handheld. So if I'm doing it, if I'm going to be gone wanting to listen, I know a bunch of people do through the app when they, you know, working away too far to get the actual radio signal. I go the app just because it has all those extra goodies, Jared.
That's right. You get hooked up with all that. And it's a direct way to get to these games, right?
That's right. Penny News is out. Print copy of the Penny News. Go check it out. Pick it up. Free copies of the Penny News all over basically Western Oklahoma. Anywhere between Oklahoma City and Amarillo. You might be able to find some Penny News. And then Skinny on Sports Podcast, of course, it's available. If you miss a show, want to go back and hear what we had to say, you can check that out anywhere where there's podcasts. All right, so you're set up. Merritt, Oklahoma, ready to roll.
Yeah, I'm ready to go. First round of the first game of the Merritt Classic involves the Canute Trojanettes and the Frederick Lady Bombers, followed by the Canute Boys, and then a full slate of games throughout the rest of the day. This tournament's always well put on. I mean, I'm hardly in the building, and I'm asked, "Do you need anything?" So they take care of you over here, and I'm hooked up, ready to go. So I'll have to duck out here early to get that. Broadcast going. So that's just one tournament, though. There are a ton of tournaments happening today.
We'll hit those in the next segment. I do have trivia questions, and I know you know the answer to these because I've asked you before.
We'll see how good I retained it.
Here's the deal. Underneath the high school hoops tournament section of the day of our talk, I have a sentence, and it says, "Who all can you watch?" And my point about that is not only everyone knows the schools in the Paragon Network, right? Everybody knows those schools. But
sure.
I want to highlight the quality of teams that are also in those tournaments. And I'm going to do that by looking back at the last 10 years. And I'm going to have this is going to be a trivia question out there to our listeners. 225-9698 is the text line. In these tournaments that the Paragon teams are in this week, there is for the last 10 years in the state of Oklahoma, the girls team that has won the most games and the boys team that has won the most games statewide, you can watch on our network today. Well,
that's a good
one. Of them you can watch today. The other one you'll probably be able to watch Saturday. That's a huge hint. So that's my question. In the last 10 years, what girls program has won the most games in the state of Oklahoma, and what boys high school basketball program has won the most games in the state of Oklahoma? There's also, if you look at these lists, you have to have won 200 to make the list in the last 10 years. And so then there's more girls teams than boys, so we got a little bit further. Uh-oh. Hello. How do I do that? If I mute that, will that mute you?
I don't even hear that.
Oh, you don't hear the...
I know what's going on. You keep talking. You keep talking.
I've got it right here.
Take care of you.
I've got it right here. Now, are you still there?
See right, if I, yeah, can you hear me?
Well, I can't, but here's the deal. If I mute the text line, you go away.
Let's see about that.
Maybe you know how to do it better than I. Oh, you're going to do it in the app. I don't know. Anyways, so that's the question. That's the question. Girls and boys, and they're both, you're going to be able to watch both of these, I think, on our network by the time this is all said and done. Oh, yeah, there you go. Good call. 225-9698. All right, last night, Jared, the Thunder, kind of a scheduled loss on the road in Atlanta. We're starting to hear that they had the trouble getting out of Oklahoma City, not down to Atlanta till the wee hours or even the morning yesterday. Quick turnaround. Early it did. It looked like they just didn't have their legs. Then all of a sudden, at the very, they scored the last nine, have a three-point shot to send it into overtime that just doesn't quite go in. And Oklahoma City has their five-game losing streak snapped, 141-138. Honestly, I think if you really kind of paid attention to everything that was going into that game, the Hawks hadn't played since 2023. It was their first game of the year, literally. This was always going to be a tough, tough, tough spot for Oklahoma City, and they just didn't have enough defensively to stay close enough to when they finally made the run, they were able to win the game.
Yeah, it's kind of what I guess fear is what I use, but it's kind of what I feared. You know, road games, it's always – unless it's Detroit, I almost don't care where you're going. There's always those factors of the travel, it was a back-to-back coming off a huge win over Boston and then having to get up. And I didn't even know about the travel troubles. They didn't get there till 4 a.m. and all that stuff. So, in a way, it was kind of impressive that they mounted a comeback, were able to score as much as they did and still only lose by three with the chance there at the end to maybe even tie it. But it is what it is. I mean, that's the rigors of the NBA and the travel. They'll just have to regroup and bounce back. But this is going to be January. There are a lot of road games in January. And I've been saying this over and over. This is where we're going to see if this is. Now, we agree they are one of the best teams in the NBA. There's still that question of, are they a contender for the title? I think that's still kind of up in the air. But this might help answer that question, is how they survive these many road games in January, and if they come out looking good, I mean, that's the test of a team. So that might give us some more answers. So I'm not disappointed with last night's loss, because you're right. It was kind of like, okay, that's one with everything that's going on that they could drop. Yeah. So I'm not going to throw up a bunch of red flags like, oh no, we lost to Atlanta. Well, look at the circumstances.
Yeah, and it's really, honestly, if you just flip the order, it's just the way the schedule goes, right? Because if that would have been a trip to Washington last night, then you go to Atlanta next, you're more prepared to play a more mm-hmm. offensive team that the Hawks are. But when you look at the stats and thinking about, okay, what might go first if you don't have your legs, and defense would be that side of it, right? You just don't quite have the energy, you don't quite have the emotion to be able to get out on shooters or block out, and you look up and the Thunder out rebounded 49-37, so that's 12. Now they've also been able to kind of to mitigate the rebounding woes by playing defense and A, not turning it over, B, creating turnovers, right? And that goes back to, you know, effort and legs. You look up last night, Oklahoma City actually committed more turnovers than Atlanta at 13-11. Thunder did have 10 steals, but that number's been upwards of 15, somewhere from 15 to 20, and that those turnover margin has been constantly in the Thunder's favor through this five-game winning, or heck, even the whole season, really. And that's where you don't lose as many possessions, even though you're getting out rebounded basically every night. Problem was last night, you didn't cut into that rebounding advantage. You actually added to it. So between rebounding and the turnovers, you lose 14 extra possessions. The crazy thing is Oklahoma City shot it incredibly well, as they have been all year. 55% from the field, 50 on 18 of 36 three-point shooting. They missed six free throws, which is unlike them. They've been shooting almost 85% from the free throw line as a team. They missed six last night at 20 of 26. Atlanta was fantastic from the free throw line, 31 of 33. So you give up 11 points there at the free throw line, and it just all those things kind of add up to not being able to come away with the win last night against the Atlanta Hawks.
Yeah, and I'm impressed with the amount of points they scored and the effort that they put in to try to come back. And there were times there I thought that they probably will be okay. They'll come back and win this thing. But and the kind of the positive of all this is we can see how much of an advantage it is, even in a loss, with the Thunder and their youth.
Yeah.
And all that stuff that you said there too. So, you know, having the legs, having the stamina and able to kind of wake up in that second half and mount a comeback, but just came up too late or too short. So,
see, this is
they'll be fine.
I think this is an example of being built for the regular season and wondering about how that leads into the playoffs. Because you look at that Thunder bench and you have guys Lindy Waters, he hasn't probably played 20 minutes all year. Well, he gets 20 minutes last night and was made 3 of 6 from three, scored 9 points. But that's part of, you know, that depth that helps kind of try to stay afloat in a game like last night, and even making runs back at Atlanta at times to try to cut that, you know, it was as many, I think it was a 21 or 22-point lead at one point. You know, then all of a sudden you see that it's down to 11, it's down to 9 or whatever it is. And those guys, the Lindy Waters, the Aaron Wiggins, even Cason Wallace to a little bit of a degree, are kind of the players that are spearheading those charges back. This is where the question marks for me lie as far as regular season versus playoffs, because in a game like that last night, I don't know that you see those guys, you know, unless it's just a fourth quarter Hail Mary to where you kind of concede the game and you look forward to the next one, right? You just the benches start to shrink, the minutes shrink for those bench players, they go up for the starters or the really key role players. And so I don't know how much, like a game like last night, the positives that you might come out of it with for Oklahoma City in that the youth and the depth, I don't know how much that's really going to help you when it comes to playoff time.
Right. Sorry, I'm getting some breaking news, so I'm kind of scrambling here.
Oh, dear.
It's about today's game that's about to come up.
Okay.
Canute's going to be without a starter. So tune on in to find out who.
Yeah, there you go. That's nice. Hey, one last thing on the Thunder game, then we can go to the high school basketball. Yep. Take a break and go to high school basketball. Is the inbound – let's go from last – you know, the early Thunder, the Scott Brooks Thunder, the KD, Russ, Harden Thunder to this one. Is the ability of Mark Daigneault to draw up late game inbounding plays the biggest difference between them back then and the Thunder right now?
I think that's that's a part of it. I also heard this said on these airwaves in the afternoon that the way Daigneault coaches these guys, and I kind of alluded to it the other day about their youthfulness and being willing to be coached. You know, if you mess up, if they mess up on the court, he has no qualms taking you out. But he, you know, and they allow him to do that. And if he gets upset with somebody, he can pull him off the court and then bring him to the sideline or bring him to the bench and talk him through it, coach him up, and then reinsert him. I don't think we, and I'm going back, I mean, here we are over 40, so it's hard to remember that far back, but I don't remember Scott Brooks being that vocal like that with KD and Westbrook and the others. So, but yeah, drawing up those in-game, yeah, that was definitely an Achilles heel in that first good munch with the Thunder with Scott Brooks, sure. So, yeah, Daigneault's coaching ability. I mean, we knew nothing about the dude when he was hired, right? We didn't know about this guy. And, man, again, here we go. It's broken record. Credit Sam Presti for having an eye on this guy and going, this is the guy that's going to bring us into the future.
Yeah, I wonder, one, actually drawing the plays up is a huge advantage. I don't think there's any doubt. But number two, I think you also see a little bit of the difference, at least so far, with these guys versus the Thunder U. And that is they're not quite, would you say, full of themselves or not?
Well,
last night, you know, Shea gets knocked down trying to go to the ball. But it's like he's okay with Isaiah Joe getting to take that shot. What happens if that's not if the ball works to, say, Tabo Cephalosha back then and Russ and KD don't even touch it? Is there you know what I'm saying? I'm not so sure. I'm not telling you that Scott Brooks had these wizard plays, but I'm also wondering if he felt such a need, and maybe even the organization the first time around because of what they had and being a new franchise and probably even still at the time a little bit concerned or even apprehensive about, can this work in Oklahoma City in this small market? Whereas now it clearly can. You know, the fans will come out in droves when you start winning, especially if it's an entertaining brand of basketball. And maybe even organizationally, you know, Jim talks about this a bunch as far as what, you know, Westbrook was able to do whatever he wanted to do, especially after Kevin Durant left. He basically ran the organization. I wonder if they all took a step back and kind of looked in the mirror thinking, that's not the way it can run and be completely successful. It's got to be more of a organization-wide, team-wide goal. And maybe that's even part of it a little bit, is the willingness of the best players to be okay and actually be, you know, confident and have the faith in the trust in somebody else like Isaiah Joe taking the shot to try to send it into overtime.
Yeah. And again, going back to what I said the other day about why this team is good, and I alluded to all this, was that they are young. They haven't really been paid yet, and they're not spoiled by the NBA. Now, a big question is when that time comes. And, you know, we're a couple years away from that, but when those contracts are signed, extensions and whatever, and then there's that, you know, how does that transfer over into the locker room? Well, this guy's getting paid more, but I'm averaging more of this, and I should be getting more, or, I don't know, or trade demands, all that stuff. So that's what's fun right now, and hopefully we can continue to ride this wave of success with this youth, these guys who aren't what I again called, they're not spoiled by the NBA just yet. It's still a team effort from these guys.
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. Just got a text. They are a we team and not a me team, and that's exactly 100% correct.
Yes.
I've got two trivia questions out there. I've got one already out there, which I have the right answer to right off the bat. I got both teams almost immediately. From our man Jeremy Robbins. I mean, he was so fast. Like he was like, what's that dude now that wins Johnny's after us every single day? Tom. Is that his name? Tom?
Yeah.
Jeremy Robbins was our Tom on the high school basketball question. So here's another one. 8 years ago today, how do I phrase it without giving the answer away? How about this? College basketball, 8 years ago today, what happened? It was memorable.
You know, wait till after the break?
Wait till after the break. Jared's on site. Merit, classic.
I got your answer.
You know what it is?
Oh, yeah. Because I was on Twitter this morning, so I know.
No, not Jeff. Jeff is the one that never gets it right. Isn't Tom the one that always gets it right now?
I can't remember. I'll be honest, I haven't listened since Huntman's been gone.
Well, there you go. All right, man, if your name was Jeremy, you knew the answer to the high school basketball trivia question. Both Jeremys got it right. The question was, who the winningest high school basketball program on the girls' and the boys' side, there's a pretty good chance you're going to be able to see them on the Paragon or Big Elk TV network this week. I know you're going to get to see the winningest boys program because that's going to come up here in just a little bit this afternoon. Jared, do you know who that is?
That'd be Fort Cobb.
The Fort Cobb Broxton Mustangs, 266 wins in the last 10 seasons, a handful of state titles in there as well. Yeah, Fort Cobb Broxton, 266. They are the winningest boys basketball program over the last 10 years. They'll be on Big Elk TV today, 5:40. The Elks and the Mustangs, first-round action over in the Hinton Invitational. Now, the girls' team we may not see till Saturday, which will give this answer away if you were paying any attention yesterday. Jared, do you know who that is?
That'd be LaMega.
LaMega Lady Raiders, 275 wins over the past 10 seasons. That is correct. Lomega and Fort Cobb Broxton are the winningest high school basketball programs, boys and girls, over the last 10 years in the state of Oklahoma. Now, here's where it gets a little bit tougher, Jared. There are Paragon TV teams in both that have won over 200 games. That's what you had to do to get on this list. Can you tell me of the Paragon TV schools, girls, which girls' team has won the most games over the last 10 years?
Of the Paragon TV schools, what girls' team has won the most
Good
over the past 10
grief.
Years?
Jeremy Robbins is on fire. Yep, that's the question.
Well, I go to two. Is it going to be Hammond or Merritt? I'll stay with Hammond.
Hammond Lady Warriors, 217 wins. That's tied for 13th in the state of Oklahoma. Some other teams, girls-wise, that you can see this week, Jared? Actually, no, wait a minute. Yeah, you can see this team. Hooker. They're out at Merritt this week. They've won 203 games over the last 10 years. And then you've also got down at the Fraser Bank Tournament at Woosie and Altus. Duke, the Lady Tigers, have won 201 games over the last 10 years. That's just an idea of who you can see on the girls' side in these, you know, like an hour drive from Elk City, let's say. If we kind of centralize from all the tournaments around, that's the people you can go watch this week in these tournaments. Now, on the boys' side, Paragon TV schools. Which team has won the most games over the last 10 years?
On the boys' side, the Paragon schools have won the most. Let's go with, is the answer Leedy?
The answer is, Jeremy wasn't as sure this time. He had question marks behind it, but the answer is the Leedy Bison. Sixth in the state of Oklahoma with 236 victories. Some other teams that you can see. Another Paragon team. Okay, here's another one. There's another Paragon team that's won over 200 in the last 10 years on the boys' side.
Racking my brain. We're going back to 14. Is it 14 or 13-14 season? Probably. Let's go with – I'll go with Merritt again. I'm on air. Oh, sorry. Let's go with Merritt again.
It is not – the Merritt Oilers.
Okay.
Oh, my man Sam got it.
What is it?
Arapahoe Butler. The Arapahoe Butler Indians, 207 wins. That's 18th in the state of Oklahoma in the last 10 years.
With their state tournament appearances in that times, that should have been a clear answer.
Yes.
My apologies to the Indian fans out there.
Arapahoe Butler, 18th. So, but here's some other teams you can see. Obviously, Fort Cobb today. Duke is down at the tournament at Altus. The Duke Tigers have won 231. That's eighth in the state. You've also got Van Oss, who is playing at the coolest name, Slick Hills, there in Apache, that Hollis is at. Van Oss has won 204. And then you can see another team, Jared, out there, Hooker. Hooker boys have won 201 games over the last 10 years. So you can see them at the Merritt Classic this week as well. So a bunch of good teams, here's what's even cooler. Then you can add some teams if you go 2 weeks from now in the tournaments that the teams are in. And I haven't even seen a Washington bracket yet, so I bet you anything, there's teams that Elk City will be playing over at Washington that might be on the list. Washington girls are already there. I guarantee you they're on that list. But just off the top of my head, the teams that I know that are going to be in tournaments. Ceiling girls are sixth on that list. Hydro Weekly girls are 10th. I know Hydro Weekly would be at the West Central, right, with you in 2 weeks?
Yeah, yes.
And then also, so both of those boys teams have won over 200 the last 10 years. And then also another addition on the boys side. Do you know who that is in that West Central tournament?
Calumet.
Calumet, 7th. In the last 20 years. And the Chieftains will be over there at the West Central as well. So what I'm trying to tell you is, watching on Paragon TV, Big Elk TV, you can see all these games are just going to these tournaments. You know, Merritt's got one. Hammond's got one this week. Within a stone's throw of Elk City that you can actually go out and watch with your own eyes some really quality basketball. All right, let's talk about today. What's going on out at Merritt?
Yeah, a good tournament here. You mentioned Hooker. Just there's a chance that Canute and Hooker could meet on both the boys and girls side in the semifinals or in the consolation bracket, hopefully on the semifinals side. And that, again, you're talking about really good games against really with really good teams. The Merritt Oilerettes, I think everyone's going to really watch them, see how they come off of the successful run over at Ada at the Bertha Frank Teague. Of course, they won against Navajo on Tuesday night. And it looks like their path is pretty clear to the championship game. But keep an eye on teams like Moreland and Turpin Girls. And this is why we have these tournaments, so we can play these squads just not that we're familiar with in this area. So it's really those are – and they can give you some intriguing matchups and who knows. So – and boys bracket, Canute boy – I mean, I mentioned – I asked that question yesterday, and I might have been alluding to. It's like, you know, within my circle, I talked to my guys, like, well, what do we think about this boys' team? They're better than last year, sure, but they're still kind of young. But, man, they look really athletic. And so we're really anxious to see these tournaments against these teams, again, that we're not really used to seeing. Today could be a really good test for the Canute boys because this Mangum school is – they have some perplexing losses and wins in their young schedule. They are a football team, so they've only played, I believe, like six games so far. They're 3-3, but – one of those losses was a three-point loss to Fort Cobb. I mean, if you're hanging with Fort Cobb, that kind of makes you think, well, okay, well, then they go and beat a team that's down a little bit this year in Thomas by three. And so we don't know what we're going to get. They have a deep bench. I've seen some film on them. They have some size. So Canute's going to have to be ready for a physical team in Mangum today. And then there's some familiar teams like Moreland and Turpin. They were both up at the Moreland Holiday Classic last month. And, of course, the Merritt boys, I'm looking for the Merritt boys to find their stride. And I think they will at some point in this. What perfect time to do it than at your home tournament. And they open up with Frederick. And then they got a chance to take on, I think I was wrong, Hooker's on the other side of the bracket of the Canute boys. But that would be a good test for them. And I just got a feeling that they are a win or two away from getting on a roll. You know, and think of it like this, like Leedy boys last year, where they kind of stumbled out of the gate and then they really picked it up, found their rhythm, found their stride, got some key wins. And Leedy girls. I got those backwards. Merritt boys, I think, can do that. I really do. And this is the perfect place for them to do it in their home gym, in front of their home fans, sleeping in their home beds, and against some quality opponents. So just a couple of things I'm looking for here at this tournament anyways.
Yeah, that's always the interesting part, right? Because especially in the smaller schools, you get some – bunch of them been in the gym the whole year or you know, out of fall baseball, I guess. But then, you also start mixing in the football schools that before Christmas a lot of times it's rough. Then all of a sudden you get the ball in your hand, you're in the gym over the Christmas break, and it looks like a whole nother team coming out of the Christmas break because you kind of get your basketball shape in you, your basketball legs, especially on the boys' sides of these things. And then that physicality. We talk about it all the time in the small school state tournament, especially in Class A because you get more of a mix. Class B, there's not a ton of football playing schools, right? But in Class A, there are. And you can see a different physicality and quite frankly, a different look a lot of times to the teams that play football versus the teams that don't, just because in order to play football, a lot of times those guys are bigger and, you know, a lot stronger looking and, quite frankly, a lot stronger than some of the basketball playing schools. But that doesn't always, you know, make the huge difference because of the skill maybe is on the advantage of the other side. That's you kind of start to zero in on some of those teams that you think can be good, that just, you know, maybe made a long run in football. Ceiling would be one of those that you'll see in a couple weeks out at Merritt. It would be one of those that would, you know, have a chance to kind of get their basketball legs in them. Here's a question.
Yeah, and, you know, and on that note, just, you know, this is for a lot. I know a lot of teams picked it up on Tuesday, but I know for Canute anyways, this is their first game since coming out of the Christmas break. So I think there might, you know, obviously they're practicing between now and then, but practice and game is almost a different thing. But I want to see if there's any kind of slow starts or anything like that, not just for them, but for other teams. Last night, my kid had practice and she was gassed And she couldn't understand why. I said, honey, that was actually your first hard practice since after the holiday. Right. You're going to be gassed. So I'm wanting to see if we're going to have that any kind of effect in these games today, not just here, but all, you know, throughout all of the tournaments that we've talked about.
All right. Who are some teams in your mind that can not only improve where they're ranked, you know, with just, what, three rankings left? You've got the coming Monday and then the Monday – the middle, and then the one after the next round of tournaments, the third week in January, which locks in the small schools, and then we'll see playoff brackets, which is crazy to think about. We're like 3 weeks away from that. But anyhow, who are some teams that you think are either below that top eight, right around the top eight, that can either really improve and kind of solidify their rankings in that top eight or move up a little bit to give themselves an opportunity next tournament round to really have a chance to jump in and claim one of those top eight spots?
Well, you mentioned that this is an opportunity for the Canute girls right there at nine. If they can have a good showing in this tournament, maybe even a runner-up showing with a close game against what we could possibly think Merritt girls in the finals, that gives them an opportunity to get back into that top eight. They're not liking the idea, talking to Coach Ridley and others. They don't like the idea that they dropped without losing. They dropped out of the top eight, so they'd like to have a good showing. This is an opportunity for them to do that. And speaking of Merritt, I mean, that being in that top eight is good for them, but they're at seven. But I think you and me agree that they maybe are a better team than seven. And maybe they can, if they run through this tournament with ease and see where they can be next week. And there's a couple on my mind, at least on the girls' side. Boys' side, as I just kind of glance at it here, where's Texoma?
Texoma's nine.
They're at Hammond.
Yeah, they're at Hammond. They're nine.
And they're at Hammond. Yeah. Yep. Watch Texoma Red Devils over in Hammond at the boys. They're at nine, too. So kind of the same thing I said about the Canute girls. But they're at nine with the number one vote. Does that tell you how wide open maybe Class A could be with that? Maybe they – I don't know. But they're right there at nine. And they will have potentially, without looking at the bracket, I'm going to assume – Sentinel and Texoma are the 1 and 2 seed in any way, or, you know.
Yeah, Sentinel's one, Texoma's two.
There you go. So that, circle that one, because Sentinel's right there at six. Well, what if Texoma goes and beats Sentinel? They could, I don't know if they jump all the way up to six and Sentinel drop to nine, but it might, I mean, that helps them out definitely to get them probably back in the top eight. So a couple right there, at least out of Class A. How about you?
Yeah, that one's obvious, I think, with the Sentinel and Texoma, just because of where they're ranked. Girls' side, the winner of Arnett and Leedy, if that's the final up at the Oil Center in Woodward, Arnett's 10, Leedy's 12. Is that enough? It'd be enough to at least get them on the cusp. Will it be enough, especially if it's Arnett, to actually get into the top eight and then try to stay there? I can't wait to see what the Leedy boys do, because they were on such a roll, right, before the break. They were just really playing well. Can they sustain that? You know, it was kind of the same way last year, playing really, really well, coming off the five-county win. Then, of course, Luke got hurt, and everything kind of was up in the air from then on, right? Can Leedy continue that momentum and solidify themselves as a true state finals, state championship contender in Class B boys? And then down in Altus, there's another one here, and it is, I think there's two teams. Being unranked right now, it's hard to imagine Eric can get all the way from unranked to top eight, but they've already beat Granite once. Granite's number 10 in Class B. If they can run through Granite and then also find a way to beat Duke in the finals, you're talking about two top 10 wins in that tournament for Eric. Where would that stack them up? You know, they would have to get into the rankings. But where?
100%.
You know what I'm saying? But where do they get to? And would that then give them the opportunity from there then to win their next tournament and really pole vault into contention for the top eight? Or is it Granite at number 10? Can they knock off Eric? It's kind of the rubber match, the third game they will play this year, and then beat Duke. And then would that be enough for now Granite to be a serious contender to be in that top eight in Class B boys? This is kind of like, for me, Leedy boys, you know, Hammond and Lomega, it's hard to imagine them falling out of the top eight in any way. Merritt, I think we see Merritt right now as 2A number 7 on the girls' side, but that there hasn't been a ranking put out since the third place Bertha Frank Teague final or finish So I don't know. That's kind of the question mark there, I guess, is would Merritt still be number seven, or are we really talking more 6-5-4 for the Oilerettes? And then, you know, if it's not.
Yeah, they might not need – you're right. They had a great tournament over at Ada. What, they might not need an incredible showing here. Does that make sense?
Yeah, but –
maybe
but,
the question
– I mean, obviously, the further you can go up, the better it's going to be as far as your matchups.
Yeah.
You know, and so it would be hard to imagine they wouldn't at least vault over Okema, who suffered a bunch of losses, a three straight in that Mustang tournament, even though it was the good teams. Merritt beat good teams. You know what I mean? So it's hard to imagine they're not at least number six. Yeah, and what's a win over Canute at number nine in Class A? You know, what's that do for them, too, if they're able to win? What I'm saying is I think there's teams now, this week, that can perform to a level to where it almost makes it impossible for them to drop out of the top eight, and there's others that can perform well enough to give them a chance to either be in the top eight going into the next tournament week or close enough to where another great performance in the second week of tournaments gives them a chance to be one of those top eight schools.
Right, right.
All right, man, I know you're about ready to roll.
We're about 13 minutes. Yeah, but it says 13 minutes on the clock. Canute's been in here in the gym warming up. No sign of Frederick. So,
well, you know, if you remember, you weren't
there. I don't know what's going on.
You weren't there.
What happened?
The very first football game on Big Elk TV was at Frederick.
Oh, really?
Yes. And they warm up. You remember like Ada, how they warmed up offsite?
That's true. Yeah.
And
yeah.
Frederick came flying in off of buses and stuff. So maybe that's what they're going to do
in
basketball.
Tuttle does the same thing in their football. They do the same thing. They come in on buses, pads on. And they make a big show of it with the sirens and everything.
Yeah, that's the way it was at Frederick for football.
I text somebody and they jokingly said, well, maybe they're getting dressed on the bus and they're just going to roll on in. So maybe that's how they're doing it. So we'll see.
Or maybe, like me, they think it's Wednesday.
it's been kind of – last couple weeks have been kind of screwy here, not knowing what days is what.
So there's zero doubt that – the Monday Christmas and Monday New Year's Day are the worst, right?
Yes.
There's no doubt that's the worst. I think it's the worst.
What if it's Wednesdays, you know?
Yeah, but at least
you got to go to work for a little bit. I just mean to throw you off.
You off on what day of the week it is. To me, it's the Monday, the Monday, because you get here and, you know, you're used to it being Monday.
Yeah.
And then it's Tuesday.
Yeah. You know, next year, Wednesday, because it is a leap year, so next year – we're going to have –
it's actually
this
year. By the
way, Frederick's
– it's actually this
Frederick's
year,
Frederick's rolling in. Oh, I'm sorry. This
we
year.
We are in 2024.
Frederick's here, so I guess we'll have a game. My final thought, then I got to go. I've always been a proponent of a four-day work week with Wednesdays off. You work a couple days, then get a break on Wednesday, then work a couple more days, then get a weekend. But so we'll see if that's actually a good thing with Christmas and New Year's on Wednesday this year, right? And I'm sure we'll get Christmas Eve off or at least half a day.
You are?
I wonder how that's going to work, how we'll feel about that. I really got to go. It's under 10 minutes. I got to get two pre-breaks in, so pre-game breaks.
All right. Paragon TV. Right now, Jared Atha, Canute versus Frederick out at the Merritt Classic. Thank you, Jared.
All right, see ya.
See ya. Wrapping up a Thursday ahead of the high school basketball tournaments getting started all across Western Oklahoma, all across the state of Oklahoma, for that matter. I mentioned earlier, though, college basketball 8 years ago today, what was the notable occurrence 8 years ago today? Nobody really – it was hard to ask this question without giving it away, but I can tell you what it was. It was Lawrence, Kansas, Fog Allen Fieldhouse, Buddy Hield putting up 46 in a 109-106 three overtime loss to the Jayhawks. One of the most incredible performances by an opposing player in that arena ever. There's that when KD had an incredible performance for Texas. Randy Rutherford back in the mid-90s, on a day where I think Big Country went 0 for He might have made a free throw or two, but he was 0 for from the field or 1 for. And Rutherford went for 40-ish. I can't remember exactly, maybe 45. But yeah, that was an incredible night on Dick Vitale in the house. The KU fans gave Buddy Hield a standing ovation as he walked off the floor because of the greatness that he displayed and just the way they are as fans. They absolutely understood what they just saw. And it also helped that their team won. But yeah, and on the text line, that's when I realized we'll never beat KU again. Haven't won in Fog Allen since 1993. The lasting memory, and I was looking at the box score here, Kadeem Latin, 10 points, 14 rebounds, but 0 for 1 for the free throw line, and he had a chance to ice it, maybe in regulation, maybe in one of the overtimes. Couldn't get it done from the line. And the Sooners lose 109-106 to Kansas. Perry Ellis was 55 years old. He had 27 to lead the Jayhawks in his 10th season at Kansas. He had less hair than the coach Bill Self does underneath that toupee. Anyhow, memory that you don't normally see, like the SportsCenter interview after Big Monday, which I believe that was a Big Monday game with Scott Van Pelt. You don't normally see a losing player get the interview, but that night you did with Buddy Hield sitting on the scorer's table in Fog Allen Fieldhouse talking to Scott Van Pelt after a loss. That's how great his performance was that night. Okay, so here we go. College or high school hoops today, all across the Paragon TV network, Big Elk TV as well. I mean, it is wall-to-wall basketball. I'm not going to guarantee you that with Jared starting here in 5 minutes at 10 o'clock, that we there's a chance we got like 12 straight hours of some sort of high school hoops. Somebody's going to be playing. I do believe that Merritt will have every game, maybe not commentated, but you'll be able to watch any and every game out there as they set up their stuff to broadcast each and every game. But starting at 10, you got the Canute girls in Frederick. That's coming up right now out at Merritt, at the Merritt Classic. Immediately following that one, as Jared mentioned, Canute and Mangum at 11:20. So 10 o'clock and 11:20 for Canute out at Merritt. Then the Merritt games, the Oilerettes play Gracemont at 6 o'clock, 2A number 7 Merritt, 6 o'clock against Gracemont, and then the boys will follow in the nightcap from Merritt against Frederick. That one's scheduled at 7:20. Over at the Western Equipment Classic in Arapahoe, first game of the day will be on Paragon TV. That's the Cheyenne Raiden Lady Bears. See that young Lady Bears squad against Sayre. 10:30, Cheyenne and Sayre. The Cheyenne boys will follow at 11:50 against Snyder. And then also from Arapahoe, Butler, the Lady Indians will play Amber Pocasset at 6:30, and then the Indians get Sayre at 7:50. So the first two and the last two from the Western Equipment Classic over in Arapahoe. Up at Hammond, 10:30, you get to see Class B number 2. The Hammond Lady Warriors will take on Visai, then the Nightcap. So you got the first one and the last one from Hammond. 10:30 for the girls against Visai, and then the boys play Class B number 17, Lomega. 7:50 is the scheduled tip there for the Hammond games at their own tournament, the Warrior Classic. Up in Woodward, we have the Oil Center Classic. Got Leedy girls, Leedy against Tyrone at 4. The boys will play Goodwell at 5:30. So 4 o'clock and 5:30 for the Leedy games up in Woodward. Hollis is down at the Slick Hills Tournament in Apache. The Lady Tigers play Walters at 4:20. And then the Tigers in the nightcap against the host, Boone Apache. That's an 8:20. So 4:20 and 8:20 for Hollis today at the Apache tournament. Erica go back-to-back, but it'll be boys first from down at the Fraser Bank tournament, the Cotton Belt tournament in Altus. You've got Eric and Blair, 1:40 on the boys' side, and then Eric and Duke at 3 o'clock on the girls' side. That is everybody in the Paragon TV network. And you can check this out, ParagonTV.com. We've got the schedules up. You can find all of those schedules there if you weren't able to write it down as I was going. Then myself, I'll be traveling over to Hinton. The Hinton tournament, third straight year, I think, that the Elkettes and the Big Elks will be over at Hinton. The Elkettes are the defending champs of the Hinton tournament. Got the win last year. It was the first regular season high school basketball victory for Elk City since 2016, if I remember right, over at Weatherford. I believe that was it, 2016, when the Elkettes won the Weatherford tournament. Last year, they got the win at Hinton. So they're the defending champs. They'll tip off at 4:20 against Christian Heritage. Christian Heritage 5-2 in Class 2A. Some other teams in that one. Class 2A, number 3, Riverside. That's a potential opponent if the Elkettes can win. I'm sure that would be Riverside in the semifinals. The crazy thing about this is you go to these different tournaments to try to kind of get away from teams that you see in the regular season. There's a chance that we get Elk City and Clinton, boys and girls, tomorrow, just depending on the results, as they're in the same sides of the bracket. I think both schools probably hope that's not it, but you never know. So the girls at 4:20, Elk City and Christian Heritage, 4:20 from Hinton, and then immediately following that one, the Big Elks will get the Hinton tournament started with Fort Cobb-Broxton, Class B, number 2, Fort Cobb. 5:40 is the scheduled time there. So Big Elk TV, about a 4 o'clock-ish, a little after 4 for pregame for the girls against Christian Heritage, and we'll go back-to-back with the Elkettes and the Big Elks looking to advance in the Hinton tournament. The Elkettes trying to follow up a win last year with another win this year in that Hinton Invitational. So, man, if you love high school basketball, you have a great opportunity to see a bunch of it all week long on Paragon TV, on Big Elk TV, or just in the gyms. Go out to Merritt. Go to Hammond. They're very close there. Tournaments all around. Within an hour-ish drive, I guess a little further to Woodward, but within an hour and a half, as I said, you can see some of the best teams in the state of Oklahoma in high school basketball, the two best teams over the last 10 years in the state of Oklahoma, with Lomega up at Hammond, Fort Cobb-Broxton's over at Hinton on the boys' side. So there's a lot of really good high school hoops coming up starting right now on Paragon TV. You can get Canute versus Frederick at that Merritt Classic. So good stuff all around. We'll be able to tell you who all won, who all plays tomorrow. There's a chance that we're exactly the opposite tomorrow, that Jared's in studio and I'm not. If the games don't go well for the Brown and White today, I'll be on the road having to call in, headed over to Hinton tomorrow morning for some early starts for the Elkettes and the Big Elks. Hopefully that's not the case, though, and we can both just be sitting here looking across the computer, the tops of the computers at each other as a normal day and getting ready for some semifinal action in each of those tournaments. So tune in, Paragon TV. If you're looking for the schedule, it's there for everybody that's playing today. It's just wall-to-wall basketball throughout the day in the high school hoops round. Thanks so much for listening. Everybody have a great Thursday. We'll be back with a Garrison Financial Friday. Scotty G, hopefully he's healing well with his feet. Skinny on Sports, 98.1 FM, the sports animal.
You've been listening to the Skinny on Sports podcast with Aaron Cowan. Be sure to hit that subscribe button to get alerts of when the latest podcast is available. Thanks for listening.